Racers, a Star Wars podcast celebrating all things Star Wars and especially the Book of Boba Fett, which rolls along. We're on to episode 3, which we will be reviewing today. But we got lots to talk about. We got Matt. We got Damon. Matt, how's it going?
I'm not too bad. Damon, how are you?
I'm good. How is it out on the East Coast?
We had a cold day. We had a snow day yesterday.
Oh, did you really?
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
Like snow day from school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day, yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
So, not too bad, but then it was really cold today.
What's cold?
Indoor recess.
What's cold out in the East Coast?
Well, on the East Coast here, anything that's like with a wind chill, below minus 20 is cold. I know that's nothing for you. It's minus 40 is cold for you, probably.
I think minus 45 is a snow day. Or not a snow day, but it's like, if it's minus 45, don't come to school. But yeah. Like snow days, we've actually, holy crap. The snow that we have had over the last 3 weeks is unbelievable. Like the snowbank that I have in my yard for my driveway is easily 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
damn.
And more. It's just bonkers. And it's been a snow blowy type of season, but that's okay. Makes it feel like Hoth, which is always nice.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean a snow day. I meant indoor recess day.
Oh, okay.
Indoor recess is minus 20. We had that today.
You're lightweight. So
I don't know. I don't know what a snow day would be actually, or a cold day would be.
On the East Coast? Good
question. Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea.
Minus.
But they actually, they do.
With the wind chill minus 20?
Yeah.
Oh, so you were like, you were probably like minus 11, minus 12.
I think we were minus 14 or 15.
Oh my goodness.
And then it was like minus 22 or something.
Trade that any day. It's just brutal. I actually wonder what the temperature is right now. It's actually probably really cold outside.
Yeah. I lived in Regina for a little bit.
Oh, so you know.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, but it was from September until December. So I didn't get the January, February cold.
It's minus 12.
That was pretty cold in December. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. Minus 12 right now, minus 18 with the wind chill. Mm-hmm. So that's almost indoor recess day for you.
Almost.
That's funny. Let's get right into it. I have a few things of news, which I'm kind of excited about. I don't know if we talked about this last week or not last week, the week before, because we pushed. Last week was a crazy week, just with renovations in my house and all that kind of stuff. Obi-Wan officially releases on May the 25th. And at first I was poo-pooing that. I'm like, oh, they're dropping the ball. That's a May 4th mm-hmm. kind of release. But apparently, and I haven't double checked this. I should do this right now. Apparently May the 25th was when episode 4, A New Hope was released. Okay. So that would have been the first sighting.
35 year anniversary.
Well, what is it today? It's 2022. 1977. Yeah. So
45 year.
Yeah. Wow. May 25th, 1977. That was the release in Canada. And I would imagine the US as well. So there you go. That movie made crazy amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
11 million was the budget. It made $775.8 million. US.
Well, that's, I think, how George Lucas got to keep it and make it his, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, and
he, that created was the smartest everything. Move, man. That was such a smart move.
Oof, wow. That's a lot of money. Anyway, so that's the reason why they're releasing on that. I'm okay with that decision. Nostalgia and all that.
That's okay. You well, that just means we're going to get something else on May the 4th then.
You would think, right? So. Bad Batch season 2?
Maybe. Well, then they'll have two shows going at the same time.
Great. Sure. Great. I love it. You can't have too much. I don't like just pump out Star Wars content.
Yeah.
I don't care. There should be a show at least running every single week for the year. Let's do it.
Yeah.
New Star Wars novel dropping this summer called Star Wars, The Princess and the Scoundrel. So we all know what that's about. It's Han and Leia's wedding is the big draw for the book. So interesting. Something cool to look forward to. You have to think there's some sort of shenanigans that is going to come along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hold up the wedding a little bit until they can finally say their I do's or I knows. New Obi-Wan comic coming out in May as well, just in time for the Disney Plus show. And it's supposed to be later years of Obi-Wan. So just before A New Hope. Okay. Which will be interesting because you got to think he knows Scarif, right?
I guess.
You would think so?
Well, he just goes to Tatooine and I think he just like goes right off the grid, right? He doesn't contact anybody anymore.
As far as we know. We'll find out. We'll find out when the TV show comes out.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Scarif was developed in the time after the exile. I don't know.
Something... yeah, maybe, but at the same time, he's got to know about the battle and the rebels going there. Unless but it happens all pretty bar. Quick.
Yeah. He'd only be able to hear it from a bar somewhere.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No one's going to want to talk to him at a bar because he's boring. He's going to convince him not to drink and have death sticks.
Because he's a crazy old hermit. and then the last little piece of news I got, unless you have anything. All sorts of Black Series figures releasing. A book of Boba Fett character. You got Chrysantin, who I'm hoping I really want a Chrysantin character. Mm-hmm. And like then
a figurine.
Yeah, like one of those Black Series figurines.
I think. Okay. Do I have any? I don't think I do.
I just have bobbleheads, or not bobbleheads, but those Funkos.
Mm-hmm.
The Ahsoka Tano Funko, wobbly head, with their two blue lightsabers from season 7 of Clone Wars. They have a really cool Cobb Vanth one where he's in Boba's armor and it looks good. So you got to think another Cobb Vanth is coming, and you got to think they're going to come out with a Cad Bane.
Yeah, that was maybe Cad Bane would be cool.
Oh, would he be awesome? Cad Bane's awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Let's find out why I say Cad Bane later on.
Yeah, what are we? I guess we're, 4 weeks behind where the show is now?
A little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Show's been out. What, last episode was last week.
Yeah, it was on Friday or Thursday.
Spoilers alert, spoilers alert. But that was just the last episode, the finale. We got two before that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into our Star Wars top fives. I wonder how many of these top fives slash really 10, because I got 10 with honorable mentions. I wonder how many of these we'll have in common.
Probably, I'm going to say 80%.
Okay. Top five this week is top five cruisers, star cruisers, ships within the Star Wars universe. I'm pretty sure we did something similar to this.
Yeah. Mine were all ones that have to go like between planets, but, into space kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. You start.
What's your okay. Number maybe one? I'll go backwards. Okay. My five are the episode 9 Star Destroyers. I think Star Destroyers are so friggin' cool.
Yeah, they are.
And these ones have Death Star
capability.
Technology on them.
You blow up a planet with these things.
They can just jump from planet to planet and just eradicate the universe. Like, you know, you could, or the galaxy. Like they could wipe something out. Like that's pretty wicked. Power. It is. That's why it's so wicked. That's why they're so wicked. Yeah, that's probably the one that you didn't have, I'm guessing, of the ones I have.
I definitely thought about it. I have Star Destroyers as number 5.
Okay, yeah.
So they are cool. They're menacing. There's character within these things because they're not all the same. Mm-hmm. And like that's what I like about them. So Star Destroyers for me was number 5.
Yeah, and I like the way that they're introduced too. Mm-hmm. Like coming out of like the shadow kind of thing sometimes, and it's just like, oh yeah, Star Destroyers are awesome.
Yes, they are.
All right, my number 4 is the X-Wing.
Okay.
Because even though they can go between planets, they're not just, you know, localized fighters. They can go everywhere. So I put them on my starships.
Luke flies everywhere with it.
Luke flies everywhere with it.
Into the water as well.
Yeah, all the rebels do too. Like they escort. They're not usually, they escort the fleet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right. And they're traveling and jumping with them all the time. So
that's true. Mm-hmm. I actually do have X-Wings as an honorable mention.
Okay.
And I like, I do like X-Wings. I gravitate towards it because it's like the ship of the good guy. Right. So,
mm-hmm.
My number 4 is the Mon Calamari cruiser.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a trap.
That guy's ship.
It's such a weird looking ship, but yeah. I love it. It's
that is a good one.
It's so badly designed.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been to Ottawa, but it reminds me of the Museum of, oh, what's it called now? It's just in Gatineau. It's the Museum of Civilization. It's got like the weird, smooth, rounded sides.
Oh, really?
It's like a snake, kind of. Oh, kinda. Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, these cruisers, they're like the flagship of the rebellion. Mm-hmm. They're massive, but at the same time, they blow up very easily. We saw 2 of them blow up. Oh, no, I guess we saw 1 of them blow up. And Admiral Akbar happened to be on that one, which was sad. Mm-hmm. Poor ending to Admiral Akbar. Anyway, okay, what's number 3 for you?
Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
I think TIE Fighters are cool. This is a cooler TIE Fighter.
They got like awesome the
pointy wings. Yeah, yeah, they got awesome sounds. I'm trying to remember. It's cool. I love
Rey,
it.
Like Rey cuts his TIE Fighter in half.
Cuts the wing off.
This is silly.
Yeah.
Come on. They one-upped Luke Skywalker. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Episode 6. He has an amazing scene where he's on Endor and he's like, it's the bike scene. And he's standing there. He's crashed his bike and he's kind of recovered. And here comes a speeder and he sidesteps it and slices the front of the speeder off and it flies into a tree and blows up. Mm-hmm. Nope. Rey, with very little training, cuts an X-Wing wing off while it's flying at her at top speed.
Mm-hmm.
And lands on her feet.
Does a super jump. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Okay.
She's using the force, I guess.
Yeah, she is. All of it. It's all hers to use. Number 3 for me is the Ebon Hawk.
Ebon Hawk?
Yes. Now, the Ebon Hawk.
Which one is that?
The ship of Revan in the Knights of the Old Republic game. It's Millennium Falcon Light, basically, except in good condition. It's clean. It's got all of the Falcon amenities and everything like that you could look for, but it's way back 3,000 years before the Jedi, or not before the Jedi, before Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a cool ship. It was a cool ship. I liked it. It was neat. You could fly it. You can go all over the place in it, in the game. It was a cool thing. So that's my number 3.
My number 2 is Slave 1.
Ah,
yeah. Yes. I don't know.
I'm an idiot.
Boba Fett, but I loved his ship. The ship was cool. And like, actually the reason why I like it so much is from the old video game, Shadows of the Empire, where you have to fight the friggin' thing.
It's so hard. And
it's awesome. Yeah. It was so hard. But I loved it after that.
I don't know how I don't have Slave 1 on this thing. It's no longer called Slave 1.
It's the Spitfire, right?
It's the Fire Spray, I think.
Oh, the Fire Spray, yeah.
Fire Spray gunship is what Boba calls it.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't have it, and I should. Absolutely, I should have it on there because that's an amazing ship. Especially like you've got the sounds of like just the blaster fire. It's just super fast. And then of course the
seismic bombs or whatever. Yeah.
Bang! Oh, yeah. Man, so cool.
That was a really good impression, actually.
It's such awesome ship.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing that sound for the first time in episode 2 in the theaters.
What was that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then when they brought it back for Mando, everybody was just so into it.
Yeah.
Number 2 for me, the Lambda class Imperial shuttle. That's the Emperor shuttle.
Yes.
That is such a cool ship.
And I was really debating putting that one on.
We get a little bit of a preview of it in Revenge of the Sith after Anakin has been barbecued. And the Emperor goes to find him and, oh, he's alive. Load him up. Just a big hunk of meat. And they throw him on a thing and don't bother. Don't give him any medicine. Don't do anything. Don't
put
like
him
that.
In a back to tank.
Just like, throw him on a slab and let's just enjoy the scent.
Yeah,
and then they get to Coruscant and it's raining. I can't imagine the pain that must have caused. Just every splash of rain that hits them must have just hurt. And we get to see that Lambda class land there in Coruscant. That was cool. It was a cool ship to see Vader travel down from the Death Star in Episode 6 towards Endor in order to confront Luke. Like I thought it was a cool ship. And then we got to kind of see the insides of it during the Clone Wars and Rebels. And it was the character. I love, that's one of the main things about Star Wars that I love. Everything is a character. Like it's not just the actual characters, but like things within it as well. Lightsabers, blasters, droids, ships, everything is a character. The planets themselves. That's what makes Star Wars so good. What was number 1 for you?
The Millennium Falcon.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, we both got that.
Are you pre a Han?
No, I'm Han.
Or post Han?
I'm all Han. Like I thought it can't be the same ship that Lando has, right? Like it just doesn't look the same. So I think they tell the story in Solo that he wins the Millennium Falcon from Lando, but it doesn't look the same.
No, because it gets into an accident and they have to repair it.
Maybe that's what it is. After right at the end there, when it's just wrecked because they fly it through the
it gets extended somehow.
The parsec. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Kessel Run.
Yeah,
and it just gets beat up.
Yeah,
and so like that's one of the best scenes in the whole movie. And then when Han's sitting there and he's threatening that they've got a bunch of troopers on board a ship, and then Lando just takes off and leaves. What a scoundrel! What do you have for honorable mentions?
I have the Ghost.
I didn't have the Ghost.
Wow, we actually
that's a good choice.
The same
ships. That's a good choice.
Yeah. I mean, I love Rebels is awesome. I love the Ghost is such a big part of it. Yeah, I don't know. It's a great ship. I didn't know if I should put, is it the Ghost and the Spectre?
They're two different names, right? Like Ghost and Spectre or something along that line. So they had two different names for the ships after they picked up the
Wraith?
Second one.
Not the Wraith.
No.
Some other kind of ghost name though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did you have?
I had the Maraud. The Marauder.
The Marauder.
The Omicron class. I had to look that one up from the Bad Batch, their ship. It's like the Emperor's ship but pointy. Yeah, it's the Emperor's ship but pointy.
A little more
That is a cool ship. That is a fucking cool ship. I love it. It's a really cool ship, but it hasn't been around long enough to make or I don't know. I guess the Star Destroyers weren't either, but I had to see a little more.
Yeah,
it's still a pretty cool ship.
I in my honorable mentions, I've got the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters. Republic Cruisers. right? Like the precursor to the Star Destroyers. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love how like it opened in the middle, which allowed the whatever you want to call them, the start the
bay
the,
or whatever.
Yeah. It was cool. And it looked good.
Yeah.
It like was cool. Is that weird? It looked like the good guy. Mm-hmm. And then the Star Destroyers look like the bad guys.
Yeah. Because they have color.
Yeah, I guess, eh?
I think it might even just be it. Yeah. It could be. They got bright colors like the red.
It's so funny.
What other colors are there?
I think it was yellow. I think they were they dependent upon Jedi generals and things like that? Maybe. Or maybe not. I had the Naboo Royal Cruiser in there.
That's just I had the Naboo Starfighter.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I thought that was a cool one. Yeah, the one Anakin pilots into the trade ship.
Yeah.
I don't know, those ones are pretty neat.
Those are neat, and it becomes... They
remind me of like a classic old car, but in space.
It's cool, too,
somehow, because the Mando... retrofitted.
That's what the Mando retrofits for his vehicle.
Yeah.
And then my final one. And then my last one there is Darth Vader's executive
starship. That's my last one, too.
That ship is insane.
Yeah.
Which... You can compare that if you want, because I remember like when you're first watching Empire Strike or no, is that Empire Strikes Back? Yes, it is. Right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The ship is so it's like triple the size of or like 10 times the size of Star Destroyer. It's like a city in the sky. And then like you get it into, The Last Jedi when Snoke's ship appears and it's just so massive.
Yeah.
Like, again, the character of those ships, even in a bad movie, it still had character. And I loved it. And like with Darth Vader's ship too, like it's all about abundance and it's all about sinister. And they made it look that way because it was huge and scary looking.
Mm-hmm. And it had that cool glowing blue in the middle of it kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's awesome. All right. Book of Boba?
Yeah.
This was an awesome episode. Multiple reasons. Let's get right into it. Spider droid.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen that before. I think it was Empire Strikes Back. One of them kind of running around there. Guest stars aplenty in this episode. Steven Root. A guest appears as a water merchant in Mos Espa.
Yeah.
And he is a shifty character, to say the least.
Yeah.
You're kind of expecting him to be like this merchant who is being harassed. This is where we meet the mod gang. Bunch of Ute that are missing limbs and modded up. One of my favorite lines is in this show from the whole series. We'll get to that a little bit later on. It's funny. But bunch of these youth have stolen water from him. He's a water merchant. So Boba Fett goes to investigate, finds out that the merchant is a crook, like everyone else. And it's funny because the merchant kind of warns him about that. Like crime is just running rampant in Mos Espa. Nobody respects Boba. He's just kind of there and everybody's taking advantage of him.
He really shows the lack of respect for Boba they have right now, right? Like
you think?
And then the mods come along and pretty much the same thing. It's like, why the hell should we care about you?
But they switch their tune really quick. Yeah, Boba's one thing I like about the show that I think a lot of people, I don't know. Have you kind of heard this? I've seen it on the internet a little bit. People are really upset about Boba's moral compass.
Oh, why?
Because you look at Boba Fett, the way he acts, the way he is, he's not an evil character anymore.
Yeah, I think, I think there's a lot of symbolism with that in the Rancor.
Yes. Right?
Which we see in this, which we see later in the show. And yeah, I actually had a lot to say about that when we got to the Rancor part.
We'll get there. Fett offers these mods work and that they can come work for him. And then they all leave. And then it's back to pod time.
And then he makes the water vendor.
Yes.
You know, go more honest. You're going to have to lower the price of your water. That's too much. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So he's like, how much did they owe you? $1,300. And he's like, for water? Give me five and just walk away.
Yeah.
And then
lower your price. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, lower your price. Boba's in the back to tank. He's dreaming of Kamino. Absolutely love the flashback. Mm-hmm. We see Jango's ship take off. Young Boba's running to watch him fly away. And then that transitions to Boba on a Bantha leaving the Tuskens, his second family, or I guess his first real family.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's traveling the Dune Sea. Cool little scene when he arrives at Mos Eisley. We see Pelimoto walking with the droids as he walks in on the Bantha. Yep. Just a quick little boop. Here's connectivity.
Yep.
Boba arrives because he's gone to go see the Pikes to negotiate safe passage. This is after he's left the Tuskens. So this is a flashback. And Boba's trying to work some magic for the Tuskens. And you can see that the Pike is like clearly like probably going to screw him over.
Probably.
But we'll see what happens with that. And it happens almost immediately. Boba's on his way back to the Tusken settlement and finds it completely destroyed. The speeder bike gang symbol is left there, which when I first watched that, I was like, nah, that's a setup. I didn't really like the writing to that because it was too convenient.
Yeah, I didn't know, actually. I didn't figure.
No?
No. I guess the first time I watched it, you know, when the mayor is saying, oh, no, there's this other speeder bike gang, you know, we're paying them. We're not paying you. So, you know, I guess I figured that he had that discussion as well with the speeder bike gang.
Right.
And so the speeder bike gang went and did that.
And I guess that makes sense.
And they waited for Boba to leave first. That was just the way that I saw it the first time.
That could be too. And I guess they kind of connected to, because there's a scene where they're all there and the speeder bike gang drives by.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Boba travels back. Speeder bike gang is blamed. There's just bodies everywhere. Do we see the warrior? Like, she's there, right?
Yeah, she's on the ground.
I thought so too. I was kind of hoping that wasn't her and that they bring her back, because her character was awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
So badass, especially that scene on the train when she jumps there and she just jumps in and kills all the Pikes. It just goes crazy. He burns the remains of the Tuskens. He's visibly upset, especially when he tosses the child's Tusken gaffy stick into the fire. He's sad. As he walks away, maybe the greatest sneak attack of all time, Santin just pulls him out of the back to tank and throws him around the room.
Yeah, the largest, loudest Wookiee sneaks into Boba's palace now. Instead of Jabba's palace. Yeah. Past every other person in there.
Well, there's only
into Boba's room.
I guess there's only like four people in Boba's palace. Well, right?
He's got the mods, he's got Fennec Shand, he's got
his that's true.
God guards.
Yeah.
He's got his robots. He's
There's no security. Fucking
way.
No security.
It's like whatsoever. The biggest, loudest Wookiee. Like,
and he's not like subtle about things.
He's a gladiator. He's not an assassin, right?
He's a bull gladiator. In a china shop.
Exactly. And somehow he sneaks in to Boba's chamber.
Literally the last line of defense.
Like, I don't fucking get it. Like, I would have been cooler if like he beat up everybody getting to Boba's chamber.
Yeah, nobody.
And then he's almost beat up, like he's, and then Boba, you know, Boba wakes up and he's able to take him out. Yeah, Boba really takes a beating.
Like, he takes what like these brass nuts that brass have like an electrical charge. He gets a full on shot. From Chrysanthemum right in the mush.
He gets like punched across the room like three times. Like, punched hard enough he flies like 15, 20 feet. Like, that's a bone breaking. Anyway, but yeah.
Boba is a genetic modification himself, right? So there's that. Chrysanthemum, he's so awesome. The modded youth, they show up. The Gamorreans come in. And then Fennec shows up at the very last bit when Chrysanthemum is standing over the Rancor pit. She opens it up. He falls in, automatically trapped. He's trapped. Mm-hmm. So they're good. So now he's a prisoner. Boba casually appears, pulling on his robe.
Yeah.
Like, no big deal.
And he's walking. Like, not even limping after that fight. Like, he gets the shit beat out of him again. Like, it's all that's been happening so far.
This one's acceptable.
This one I get. This is Black Chrysanthemum, right? So, but like, I get that one. But
it's no big deal to him. He's just up and walking
afterwards, man. Yeah, it's like fighting a bear, man. A bear will break your back with one swipe of its
paw. Doesn't even worry about it. No. He tells them to get the wounded Gamorrean who got bit on the neck, I guess, by Chrysanthemum into his Bactic tank. And then Fennec and Boba are seen eating.
Yeah.
It's the casual eats and discussing a response to the assassination attempt. Boba's droid then suddenly arrives and announces that the Hutt twins have arrived with a gift. So they're like, this can't be good.
Yeah.
They go outside. Boba's all armored up.
I love this scene, actually.
It's great.
I think it's so good. Yeah.
Because it gives us, we're going to get more Hutts at some point.
We got it. I love it. But these are like apparently coward Hutts.
Yeah, of course they are.
So like there was a purging of the Hutts, right?
Yes.
And so these were the ones that were hiding away somewhere on Hutta or whatever it is.
Yeah, Nal Hutta.
Right. So they're not really the serious mobsters. They're just kind of there to, this is what my uncle had. Right. Yeah, and they never really got their noses dirty. The way Jabba would.
Exactly. Yeah. He goes to confront them. They admit immediately to sending Chrysanthemum to kill him. And then they say they're sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That was sorry. Our bad. There's another player in town.
Here's a gift for you. They bring
here's a gift. We tried to kill you.
Baby Rancor.
Yeah.
So everybody's excited to Rancor. And I remember as I was watching that scene, the very first time I freaked out, wasn't at the Rancor.
Danny Trejo.
It was at Machete.
Yeah. I'm like, is that Danny Trejo driving a Rancor truck?
What a character to have as a Rancor trainer.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The Gamorreans bring out Chrysanthemum and Boba offers him back. The Hutt twins are like, nah, we're good. You can keep him. Sell him back. If I'm Chrysanthemum, you just got to be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I like it because Boba, immediately after the Hutts leave, he sits there and he turns to him. He's like, release him. And if I were you, I wouldn't work for Sleemo like that ever again.
Yeah, or Scug Holes or
something. Whatever he says. So it's kind of, I like that. I thought that was cool.
I thought that was good too.
In the Rancor pit, we see the young pup up close. It's kind of cute.
I guess.
And Danny Trejo gets lines. He's talking about how the young Rancor pup is depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't really give a reason why he's depressed. I guess because he's captured, right? But
And he's probably has things over his eyes.
He's got the blinders over his eyes. That's right. And he tells Boba, because Boba asks, he's all like, why does he have them? And he tells him that they bond to the first person that they see.
Mm-hmm.
And so Boba stands in front of him and they take off the blinders. And that's the first. And you can see him like not recognizing, but like coming to understand, like, here's my master.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take care. But I really like that they kind of give context to Rancors too. It's not just a mindless killing machine. Mm-hmm. Like Danny Trejo is like, oh, they're kind of loving, actually.
Yeah, he gives like some cool things, like ridden by the witches of Dathomir.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, now I have to see this, right?
Yeah.
And I hope this isn't going to be like the Clone Wars line in Star Wars, A New Hope, and you got to wait like 35 years to get to see the Clone Wars. I want to see the witches riding the Rancors.
Somebody's got to ride the Rancor.
Soon.
At some point. Like, you can't bring that up and then just not have any delivery. Yeah.
You know what? That would actually make for an excellent video game scenario.
I agree.
If you got to ride a Rancor, that would be awesome.
I remember, I think in, I want to say The Force Unleashed, you go to, is it Dathomir? I don't think it is, but you go to look for one of the Jedi. I think it's Shaak Ti. And there's rancors that you have to fight. Nobody's riding them, but they are running around like crazy. So it's kind of like a mini little preview too, but I love it. It's cool that they do that. Boba bonding with this, with this rancor. He's like petting it and he's like, oh, I think he likes this. And he's rubbing it behind its ear and all this kind of stuff. It was just, it was a cool scene to see.
Yeah. And I think this is where Boba like changes a little bit. Cause it's like, the way Danny Trejo describes the rancor is exactly the way we've always looked at Boba Fett.
Yes.
Right. He's just like a ruthless murdering killing machine whose sole job is basically just to fight, you know, but they're actually very emotional creatures. And as we've learned, Boba Fett is actually kind of an emotional creature in the show up to this point. Right.
Well, and like, and then, as we go on, we see more and more of that.
Yeah. So I think this is Boba Fett saying, oh, this guy's just like me. Right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, sure. It could be savage in battle, but like probably good companion. Maybe. I don't know. At least the way Danny Trejo is describing the rancor, you know.
I think
he sees himself in the rancor, which is why he's kind of like, I want to learn how to ride. Like he just wants, it's like him, right? He wants to give it
everything.
Everything. Yeah. Like, I don't know. So I think there's like a big parallel between Boba Fett and the Rancor.
Which is hilarious because like the original trilogy, right? You've got this character that's mysterious. He looks awesome, but he dies, air quotations, dies when he gets hit in the back and flies into Jabba's barge and then into the Rancor pit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like it's so underwhelming how
the Sarlacc,
the Sarlacc pit. It's so underwhelming how he disappears, and then this show is building it back up again. But now we got the Rancor, same thing. The original trilogy, what a creature! Mm-hmm. And Luke throws a rock at a thing, closes the door on the Rancor, he's dead. It's so underwhelming what happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, he got to chew on a Gamorrean, but that's it. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. I did like the emotional anguish though from the Rancor trainer in the original trilogy,
because
he just cries and he's sad.
Oh, maybe that was the one he was bonded with.
He was, yeah, you're right, absolutely. Yeah. Boba's droid appears to announce that a meeting with the mayor of Mos Espa is unavailable. Boba and Shan, like Boba's like, no, that's not happening. Let's go get my armor. We gotta go see this guy. They arrive at the mayor's building. They threaten the major domo. He walks off, locks the mayor's office behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Classic, I'll go see if we can get you an appointment, and then runs away. Mm-hmm. And then the single worst chase scene.
Oh, God. Yes.
In all of Star Wars. In almost care.
All of chase scenes.
Yes. It's so bad. But it is what it is. Whatever.
Oh my God, if they didn't have the Mighty Morphin Mod Racer bikes, it probably would have been a lot better.
Of course it would have been.
Man, was this scene was just, oh.
It's so silly.
It was so dumb.
I will say I liked at the end after the Majordomo drives into like the market and he's stuck there and he's like, he sees them coming and he's still trying to start the speeder to drive up. He's like, nope, it's not working. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's you such know a coward.
It struck me almost more like the scene would have been better off in an animated show.
Yes, like just, I agree.
You know, I don't think it translated well enough to live action. You know, it needed to be more gritty. Like that was pretty.
I think the problem is like the bikes look spinning so slow.
Yeah, but the bikes are so fast.
They're supposed to be.
They're supposed to be. The guy's in a speeder. You're on speeder bikes, and you're going through Mos Espa at like fucking 20 kilometers an hour. You know, it's not like... Like, it's that fast. That's what makes me laugh. Doesn't feel like it's a dangerous...
Yes.
It's like you just took your foot off the brake and let your car go rolling forward. You know?
Oh, stop him. There's a bunch of old people with carts.
It just didn't have any, like, I don't know. I don't know what the heck they were thinking. I don't know how they watched that and been like, yes, let's include 2.5 minutes or whatever of chase, or however long it was. At least a minute and a half, probably.
The
They should have trimmed a minute out of
It should have been chase him, and then he immediately crashes.
Yeah, that would have been way better.
The female mod Drash is her name. She stops the major domo. Boba gets him to admit that the mayor is working with the pikes. And then a passenger shuttle arrives with many, many pikes arriving on Tatooine. And the mod Scad, he alerts Boba and Fennec via hologram station. And Boba tells Scad, good job and keep an eye on them. And then immediately he's like, sorry about that. And he's like, nah, man, I'm proud of my eye. Yeah. I laughed so hard at that scene. It's so laugh for this stupid. Eye. It's yeah. so stupid, but it's so funny because Boba's like, oops.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like,
yeah.
That's the kind of Star Wars comedy that I'm here for. Like, it's just, yeah, of course, somebody's just going to say offhandedly, like, good job. Keep an eye. Oh, mm-hmm. Right. You don't have an eye. Keep your good eye on them then. Hilarious stuff. Fennec comments on the pikes preparing for war, and Boba says, and I guess we're going to have to be ready. And that's the end of the episode. Lots of fun things in here. You've got the Rancor. You've got the Hutts again, cowardly, running off planet. You've got the sneak attack from Black Chrysanthemum, who somehow snuck into Boba's palace. Like,
Boba's palace.
What a great show. What a great episode.
Yeah. It was good. I really liked it. I don't think it's one of my favorite in the series, but
I would agree.
It's good. It was better than the last episode.
It easily has. I think it might have my favorite line.
No, it wasn't. The whole series. It was not better than the last episode. Oh yeah. What's the
line? Is the eye thing at the end?
Oh, that's your favorite.
Keep an eye on him. I laughed. I just out. Like, it was LOL. Kind of like legit laugh out loud moment. Like, I was like, that's hilarious. And the way that Temuera Morrison delivers that line, like, he says it and he like stops and looks at Fennec and he's like, sorry. Like, it's just so funny and it's great. I liked it. And I mean, you've got Steven Root, such an underrated actor. He's great in everything you see. You've got Danny Trejo, like, Machete is the Rancor trainer. Like, come on, man. I want to see more of that too. Let's I want season two of Book of Boba. And here I thought originally, I was like, when they announced Book of Boba after Mando, I was like, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But I had that feeling with Bad Batch too.
Yeah. Well, now that I've seen it, I like it, right?
Yeah.
And I want to see more of it. But it was kind of like at the time, it's like, why are they going that way?
Like, where's my Obi-Wan show?
Yeah. Where's all the other shows? Why Boba Fett first?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, Obi-Wan better deliver.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think it will. I think
so too. But like, you've got like Bad Batch, I was meh on. And I mean, the first episode of Bad Batch blew me away. You get that other side of Order 66, right? Like, that was awesome. Book of like Mando, I was like, okay, I'm excited for this. Is something new, something different, right? It's not. Yes, it's going to be connected to the Skywalker saga, but at the same time, it's a different story. Book of Boba, I was like, okay, let's see what they do here. And I mean, like, when he climbs out of the Sarlacc, that's an awesome moment. How he survives in the Sarlacc using the stormtrooper equipment, like all that kind of stuff. It was cool. And then knowing that Cobb Vanth is going to somehow get the Boba Fett armor, the Beskar armor. And like, it's so interesting. And knowing that Boba's armor is Beskar is intense because Beskar is like a Mandalorian thing and nobody considers Boba a Mando. So that's where his lineage with Jango comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess he's got his father's whatever.
Yeah.
Legacy to follow him in the Mandalorian culture. I still don't really know what it is. I just know he was a bit of an asshole. And
well, and I imagine there'll be more to that in the Mando, because Boba Fett's going to show up in Mando season two.
Yeah, probably.
Like, for sure. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. I actually think we're going to see Ahsoka and Luke again.
In Mando season three?
I think so.
I don't know if we'll see Luke.
I have a feeling Luke is going to make it right with the Mandalorians when it comes to
Imperial occupation.
Yeah, he could definitely do it.
And I mean, now that their deepfake got 1,000 times better from Book of Boba to...
Yeah, they'll probably start doing more stuff with him.
You got to think. I've heard more rumblings that Sebastian Stan as young Luke is more and more of a possibility.
Okay, that's so good. I like that one.
I do too. And here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh, well, Sebastian Stan's going to be too old. I'm like, why?
How old does Luke have to be?
Luke is...
What Luke do you want to see?
Well, we want to see the 30 years gap, right? Because we don't know where that story is going to go. Are they going to retcon the sequel trilogy? Are they going to fix it? They could. I mean, they've retconned stuff just flat out now with Book of Boba, with Mandalorian and all that kind of stuff. So they could easily just say, you know what? The sequel trilogy, we made it. We're going to tell a different story and just erase it. And I think for the most case, people would be like, okay. Because I don't know.
All the other stuff is so much better than it. Like,
well, are the actors really going to feel bad? I think you're hurting two people's feelings when it comes to the sequel trilogy, right? Like Rian Johnson and J.J.
Whoever Abrams. Produced the people that produced them. And yeah.
Like, I think everybody is going to sit there and go, you know what? We made a Jim Jam of Star Wars and it didn't really make sense. Like, we didn't have a plan. Okay. We're going to redo the sequel trilogy. We're going to have a plan. Here's the beginning. Here's the middle. Here's the end. Don't screw with the main storyline and make it cohesive and write it that way. Right. Like when you look at the original trilogy, because the prequel trilogy was written. Here's episode one. Here's episode two. Here's episode three. This is what I want. The original trilogy was the original movie, A New Hope. Oh, this is successful. Okay. Here's my continuation of that story. And here's my conclusion of that story. And everything in between. The sequel trilogy was, here's The Force Awakens. Okay, Rian Johnson, now you do what you want. Here's the underlying arc kind of thing. Rian Johnson went in and was like, I'm going to flip the switch on this.
Yeah, fuck that.
I'm just going to do my own thing. and then JJ was like, oh, fans aren't happy. Okay, I got to fix this. And basically retcon a little bit of what happened in that and cancel out some characters and put in some new characters that made no sense and all that kind of stuff. So, like, to just say that they're going to retcon it, I think the only people's feelings they'd be hurting is Rian Johnson and JJ Abrams. And I think at this page, okay. Sorry, do better next time.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why we get so much rumblings of Rian Johnson not being a part of any new movies coming out, right? Like I don't know if he's still in their plans for future stuff. I'm gonna actually Google it right real quick. Rian Johnson Star Wars plans. Oh, it says canceled. That's the first thing that comes up. He says he's still working on a trilogy. But the rumors are that trilogy was canceled in 2019. So I don't know.
Well, hopefully that's true.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. That's the latest edition of the Book of Mandalorian. I mean, the Book of Boba. That comes a little bit later. What did you think? What was your favorite part of this whole episode?
Favorite part of the whole episode was probably Danny Trejo. I actually really liked that scene with him and Boba explaining the Rancor, believe it or not.
I can't believe we got Machete.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene. Him just Danny Trejo being Danny Trejo. Talking about a Rancor. And I liked the parallel, I think. And I'm like, okay, now Boba has a Rancor. That's cool. Can't wait to see this. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason for this. Like, you can't just have a Rancor.
You can't just not have
a Rancor. Because he's got a Rancor pit.
See it. Yeah.
I got a Rancor pit. Fill it up. But
yeah,
it's funny that you say that because, like, even with Danny Trejo's character, right, we've come to see that Boba Fett, it's soft. I'm not using this in the negative context, a softer side of Boba, right? Like he's caring. And I think it's important. And I think the Tuskens taught him that. But even Danny Trejo, like, you can see how loving he is of this Rancor. Like, he wants to train it, and he wants to train it well, and he wants to be attached to it and all this kind of stuff. So it's interesting that Danny Trejo is that character, because we associate him with so many, like, murderous, crazy characters. Like,
well, apparently he picks those roles on purpose to and dies. Like, he specifically asked to die in them so that his grandkids will see that being a bad person will get you killed.
That's amazing.
I think I've heard that or read that somewhere, that that's why he always picks those kind of, like, really bad roles, where, and then he gets killed for it, because now he can say to his grandkids, see, this is what happens.
Yeah, that's amazing. I wonder if he showed his kids Predators.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen that one?
I love Predators.
There's the scene where he's like just the worst character, and then he's the first guy to die. There you go, kids. Don't act like that. Yeah, that's what happens when you're a bad guy on an alien planet. But there you go. That'll do it for this episode. You got anything else that you kind of want to mention when it comes to this episode of Book of Boba or anything else?
No, not really. Just, I really hope the modern bikes get smashed in the future episodes of the Book of Boba Fett, and they can get some cooler looking bikes. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
we know that's not true. No. But there you go. Okay, so next week we'll be talking about the next episode, The Gathering Storm. This is a great episode as well. Lots of stuff goes on. And I guess this is, I like, again, tying into other Star Wars stuff, which we'll talk about next week. So we're going to have a new top five for next week as well. What are you thinking? What should, off the top of your head, what should we take a look at? It's a tough thing.
Top five best dressed characters.
Ooh, I think we all know who number one is. But you gotta tune in next week.
I don't know. I can't really. Yeah, I don't know why I came to that one first.
I don't mind that one.
Thinking about it.
I will say that there is a character for Boba Fett that will be in there for me. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Actually, maybe even two.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Coolest. Yeah, I like it, actually. Coolest kind of, like, armored or dressed, just looking appearance. Characters. Yeah.
Coolest appearance.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Hutt twins. They look good. They look good on paper.
Rubbing themselves with, like, the little animal that's visibly upset.
They're so gross. All right, we'll see you next week right here on the Pod Racers, the Star Wars podcast. Matt, where can we see you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Kehoh, Keyhoh.
And myself,
that's
DSO67. That's on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, Pod_Racers, that's on Instagram and on Twitter as well. Take us out of here, Maddie.
Stay safe and watch Star Wars.
Damn. Hum, da, dum, hum, da, dum.